And this morning, I'm excited to speak to you. I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 9. And we are going to continue our sermon series. 2 weeks ago, we started a new sermon series called The Harvest, and the fields are ready. And we've been talking about the harvest. We opened with John chapter 4, and we had discussed when Jesus had the conversation with the Samaritan woman, and he taught his disciples about the harvest field. And the field represented Samaria, and the harvest represented the souls that were ready to come in contact with Jesus. So we're going to continue along the same lines. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Say amen when you have it. And 38. The Bible says this. And also, actually, before I start, I want to congratulate Brother Nahal and Sister Patience, who are with us. They got married on Friday. Amen. Married on Friday and church on Sunday. Y'all should have just took the whole week. I mean, come on. Amen. But it's good to see you guys. Marriage is a beautiful thing. So it's good to see you in the house of the Lord. And they're matching. Hello. Unity, baby. Come on. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 and 38. The Bible says this. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitude, someone say saw, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few." Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few." And this morning we're going to continue to talk about the harvest. The first sermon that we preached on, this was, the title was The Fields Are Ready. Last week's title was The Power of One. And this week's title, Laborers Needed. Laborers Needed. So we're going to be talking about the harvest this morning. And I believe with all my heart that Pierce County is ready for the gospel. I really believe that the people walking around here, and I think the state in general, but I really think that God really wants to move in this day, in this age. When you look at everything that is going on around us, we are in some very tough times. As a matter of fact, the times that we live in sound a lot like what the Bible talks about when it talks about the end times. And we, the church, listen to me, will have to be intentional and willing to share the gospel with anybody that is willing to listen. And if we truly are intentional about our interactions with people, we'll probably find that there are a lot of hurting people that are willing to hear what you have to say. And as I was studying for this, the Lord had given me the scripture, Proverbs 10:5, and he spoke into my spirit this. He said, "He who gathers in summer is a wise son, and he who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes shame." And I believe that we, the church, Victory Outreach Tacoma, I think it's time for us to harvest during the summertime. So during the summer, we've really put our focus outward, and we're going to be focusing on evangelism for the rest of the summer. Amen. Someone once said that the freaks come out at night. Come on, don't look at me like that. You know what I'm talking about. Just drive through some of the neighborhoods at 11 o'clock at night and you'll know what I'm talking about. But how many know that's the time when we need to be out there, right? We need to go into the dark places and give people hope. So again, this is where we're going to be speaking. So when you look at our scripture that we opened up with, you know, the Bible tells us that Jesus was teaching and preaching and he was healing those who were sick. But in verse 35, it says, "But he, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with this thing called compassion." Now, what is compassion? When you look at the definition, compassion means this. It's to feel passion with someone and to enter into sympathetically into their sorrow and pain. It's to feel passion with someone and to enter basically into their life and feel their sorrow
and their pain. When you look up the Greek word for compassion, it's a word called sphagnesima. And this means to be moved at one's bowels or inner being. Now, this type of compassion that Jesus felt, it represented the emotion that he felt inside of his stomach. In other words, when he looked at the multitudes and he saw them, that the Bible says were like sheep that had no shepherd, it bothered him to the point that he felt it in his bowels. I have a question for us this morning. When was the last time we entered into someone else's world to feel and bear the pain with them? Because some of us, we know what pain feels like. We know what it is to walk the road all alone. But the beautiful thing is this. You belonging to a church, I got good news. You don't have to walk alone. You don't have to be struggling with discouragement. You don't have to struggle with depression. God will bring people around you if you're willing to let them in to your world and help you carry the burden. See, this type of compassion represents the emotion aroused by another person's undeserving pain. But it takes a certain type of heart to look at people in that manner. When we take the time, we put down our phones, when we get off of Facebook and we actually have a conversation with someone at the store. Right? It's funny, just watch people in the stores. Paying for their food, paying for whatever. Conversations don't really happen. I mean, today, we live in the day and age where everything's convenient. I mean, people, you know, you call them and there's those options, right? What is the options? Answer, ignore, or today you could even ignore with a text message, pre-written. But the interaction that we have with people, right, as we are so connected via Facebook, via Twitter, we are actually disconnected from people. But it's going to take us being intentional with our interactions to see what people are actually going through. I used to have a friend. I used to ask him, how are you doing? He would tell me, you got 5 minutes? He caught me off guard because I just wanted him to say I'm good or I'm not good. And I said, so why do you do that? He said, I'll tell you why I do that. When people ask me, how am I doing, and I tell them, do you got 5 minutes, I'm checking their motive. I want to see, did they really care about how I felt, or were they just asking me because they wanted to carry a conversation? Come on now. Compassion. Having compassion for someone else and taking the time to put yourselves in their shoes to see if we can be a help. See, this type of compassion is what the church needs today. Everyone has a level of compassion towards people. But our compassion has to be moved into action. Because good intentions without action are just good thoughts. Good intentions without action are just good thoughts. And many want to help people but never move beyond their want. But Jesus, the Bible says, was moved with compassion because when he saw them, they were like sheep without a shepherd. See, sheep that have no shepherd wander aimlessly because they also become helpless. See, shepherds were called to protect and guide the sheep from outside animals. And what is interesting about this scripture, when you really, really study this scripture, Jesus was actually addressing the lack of leadership towards his people. Let me explain. One commentator said this, too many Jewish leaders of that day were offering the people inadequate or improper guidance. Good leaders in large quantities were greatly needed during that time. That's why he said he was moved with compassion, because the people were like sheep that had no shepherd. In other words, he was addressing the lack of leadership. When it actually moved him, or what grieved him, was that people or godly leaders were not rising and guiding his people towards truth. People were looking for truth, but there was no one to lead or guide them. And in another similar scripture, did you know that the Bible actually addresses the very concept? And a lot of people believe that what Jesus was talking about or was referring to was what was said in Ezekiel chapter 34. Because if you read the book of Ezekiel, God basically is rebuking the people of God. But in Ezekiel chapter 34, God addresses a similar issue. The lack of leadership, the lack of people taking a stand to guide his people. Follow me for a second. Ezekiel 34, 1 through 6. This is what the Bible says. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to you, shepherds of Israel, who only take care of yourselves. Say amen or oh my. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, clothe yourself with wool, and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak, or healed the sick, or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays, or searched for those who are lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally, so they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And when they were scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. Verse number 6. My sheep wander over all the mountains and every high hill. They were scattered over the whole earth, and no one searched or looked for them. Not some heavy context there. But here Ezekiel, he confronts and he rebukes Israel's leadership. It's even believed that he was rebuking those who were called to leadership and didn't step up. Because Israel's leaders benefited from their titles and they benefited from their official roles in the temple, but they did not do their job of taking care of the flock. See, these leaders were selfishly caught up in taking care of their own affairs, that they neglected the needs of those that were around them. See, Israel's leaders were pursuing selfish gain. So this is why he is addressing the leadership. Now, I think that those words can be translated in today's day and age. Because what the church is lacking today are shepherds, leaders, those that will go and protect and guide. Those that will go out of their way for the sake of healing the injured, finding those that are lost. And if there was ever a time that we needed leaders or shepherds to step up in the church and take care of business, it is now. Let me give you a leadership tip. You don't have to have a title to lead. You just have to walk right, with exampleship, and you just have to have the heart to actually want to help people without expecting anything in return. We don't do this because we're gaining something. We do this because we love people. We do this because we know it's the heartbeat of God. If God had compassion on those that seemed lost, how much more should we, the church, have a heart and compassion for those that are struggling? And God's been doing something in my spirit. He's been reminding me what I came out of. When I go to the store, I'm having conversations with people, with the cashier. I'm like, hey, Jane, how you doing? How's your day going? Oh, hi, how are you? Hey, Brad, how you doing? How's your day going? Man, God is good. Oh, yeah, God is good. Yeah. Hey, Brad, when's the last time you've been to church? Having conversations with people. Did you know that giving somebody a smile, having a conversation with someone could change the course of their entire day? God has called us to be the light. God has called us to love the unlovable. That's a ministry we need to bring back into the church. Because there are some people, they don't want to deal with people. And I got it. Dealing with people and working with people, it's not easy. But listen, I thank God that there were people that had enough compassion on my life. Because when I walked in, I was pretty unlovable. I walked in with the baggage and a few suitcases. I had anger. I had resentment. I didn't trust anybody. But thank God that there were people in the house of the Lord that had enough compassion to step out of their routine to talk to me. Are you hearing me this morning? If there was ever a time that we needed people that were full of compassion, the time is now. See, godly leaders, we don't serve out of selfish gain. If we serve with the intention of wanting to help someone get closer to God. That is the only reason why we lead. We lead to bring God glory. We lead to give people hope. We love people to make sure that their heart can be mended and that they can operate freely. Why do I say that? Because there are a lot of people that they're broken. And we are called to the business of helping restore broken souls and teaching them what the word says. Because the Bible says, peace I leave you, peace I give you, I do not give as the world gives. In other words, there's a certain type of peace that comes from following Jesus that you can't find anywhere else. And I can't explain it, but I know it to be true. This is why the Bible says that when we're anxious, we should pray, right? And the peace that transcends all understanding will come upon us. In other words, you can be going through hell and high water. Everything could be falling around you, but some way, somehow, God will establish you and allow you to walk in peace. And I can't help but sense that there are some of you, it's been a while since you've slept good. There are some of you, as quiet as it's kept, the war never stops in your mind. And God wants to give you peace, but you got to surrender. You got to learn what the Bible says. You got to get this word into your spirit, because the word of God is like a double-edged sword, and it's able to cut through every thought, bone, and marrow. Listen to me. God is able to bring you peace so that the war will stop. Trust me, I know. My mind is always racing. And there are times I literally have to slow down and grab a hold of God. I have to literally slow down, turn every device off, go for a run, put on worship music, because my mind needs to come and be at peace. And God wants to give you peace this morning. See, if we're not careful, the church can become like Israel's leadership, where we are so caught up in our own world that we fail to meet the needs of those around us. If we are not careful, we will get so caught up in this day, in this age, and waste valuable days, weeks, months, trying to pursue selfish gain than reaching a lost soul. But you have to know that there's someone depending on you to make it so that you can make a difference in their life. The kingdom of God needs leaders. The kingdom of God needs men and women who have the right heart to help people. See, the term heart has historically referred to both the physical and spiritual, the soul and the mind of a man, and the source of the human thoughts, passion, appetites, and affections and endeavors. And when God asks a leader to give him their heart, he is requesting the core of their being so that he can work through them and love people the way he would love them. See, we as a church have a responsibility. Yes, a lot of us are overcoming, but hear me now. The church, we are supposed to give hope. We need to be a light, not only in our community, but in our households, at our job. And that comes from pursuing a relationship with God. And when you pursue a relationship with God, you begin to feel what he feels. I pray those prayers. God, break my heart for the things that break your heart. Show me what grieves you. And when I start praying like that, I start noticing what people are going through. You know, I've been spending a lot of time at the home. You know, walking with God is not easy. But we pray in the morning and we pray midday. You know, I prayed with them this week. And I was sitting there praying. We pray at 1 o'clock, and we were only supposed to pray a half hour. But you know what moved my spirit? I started hearing men, listen to me, ex-drug addicts. Come on, somebody. The outcasts of society, men that lost everything. And listen to me, I seen men on their knees, and I heard, God, I need you to do something in my life. God, if you can change me. God, if you can do something with my life, here I am. You begin to hear the prayers of men deeply crying out for God. God, do something in the life of my children. Send somebody, God. I need you, God. And then I hear them start praying for one another. I hear them start saying things. God, give Ryan wisdom. God, help him lead. God, raise other leaders up. I begin to hear them getting in there, and something riled up inside of me and said, this is why we came to Tacoma. This is why we exist as a church, to bring back glory to those that the enemy will come into people's lives and try to rip them up. But you and I have to have a heart, and we have to have an eye to see those that are hurting. And I speak like this because, man, it grieves me when people are selfish. Can I talk like this too early? Too early? Listen to me. People are dying. People are dying. Your family members need you to make it. They need you to take a stand. And we can't get caught up in the affairs of this world, because we, the church, have a responsibility to care and guide for God's flock. We have a responsibility to lead God's people. Listen to what 1 Peter 5:2 says. Care for the flock that God has entrusted to you. Watch over it willingly, not grudgingly, not for the way you will get what you will get out of it, but because you are eager to serve God. My God, that's some. In other words, care for the flock that God has entrusted to you. The responsibility to care for the flock doesn't just fall on the pastor. Because some of you, God has put people in your heart. It's now time for you to step up and step in to the office that God has for you, so that you can help us, help grow, help build, help us care for the hurting souls that walk in. The more that we step up and give our hearts to God, the more we'll be able to care for. And I believe that God hasn't grown our church past this because we don't have it. We don't have the leadership for it. But some of you, God has put the gift of leadership in you. You just got to get some things right now. You just got to let go of some things. You got to surrender. There's this old-fashioned word that I was taught called submit. Come on now. When I don't know what to do, I good old-fashioned submit. God, I'm going to do your will. I'm going to shut up. I'm not even going to say no. I'm just going to do it. There's some people, we ask them to do something, they don't do it. Help me become the man of God that I want to be. And then we tell them what to do, and they're like, well, I don't want to do that. We as the church are called to care for the people God entrusts to us. Listen, Father, you're called to be the priest of your house. You are supposed to guide your family. Some of you got this gift called influence. You're supposed to use that influence for God's glory, not for selfish gain. And I feel led to say this because we have to be careful that with everything going on around us and everything that we go through, that our love doesn't grow cold towards people. Because the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 24 that in the last days, right, there'll be rumors of war. It gives us a whole list of things that'll happen. But in verse number 12, it says this: because of increased of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. We are living in the last days where increased wickedness is on display. The morale of our country is at its lowest point. And go into international affairs, international issues. You look at race breeding even within our country. You see fear has become an epidemic. You see bombings. It's not uncommon to see the religious war going on. All you have to do is look at the three major things that have happened in the month of June and July. But hear me now. Loose morals create a tolerance for sin. Loose morals create a tolerance for sin. And I know this word might be uncomfortable for some, but listen, I got to tell you the truth. As a pastor, I won't be doing my job if I don't speak to you the truth. There are some people, your standard, your morals have been dictated by the world. Well, the world says I can do it. You don't live by the world's standards. When we live by loose morals, our love for God grows cold, and sin will cause us to do things that we wouldn't normally do. As a matter of fact, when we allow loose morals to dictate our life and we compromise here and there, do you know what happens? You become numb to the need around you. And I had to check myself. In the midst of trying to build the church, the Lord was ministering to me. He said, Eric, you're doing an okay job, but it's now time for you to look outward. You got to never forget that you're called to reach souls. Yes, I might have the gift of certain things, but I have to focus on reaching the lost. And you and I need to have an outward focus. We can't get so caught up in what we're building us for no more. No, that's not how this works. We have to create more rooms. And when this place isn't big enough, we'll go to another place that can handle more families. Because the day is coming where your family is going to come in and we're not going to have room. But the question is this. Will we have the compassion in our heart to move into action when God calls us? As believers, we have to be careful that our love does not grow cold. And I say that because some of us have been through some things. And when you've gone through some things, we sometimes get so hardened that we're like, well, I had to go through it. Let them go through it. They'll learn. Come on, wave at me if you know what I'm talking about. Where I'm like, I don't feel sorry for them. They keep making dumb choices. Right? Come on, look at me. Come on, right? Can I speak some truth? Right? There are some people that's how they live. Upset at everyone else because of what they've gone through. And the worst part is that happens in the church. But do you know what happens when that lives in the church? We start judging everybody. And then people that don't know better, that didn't grow up in church, don't ever come back. But I'm talking about having compassion. And what type of compassion did we talk about? The type that will allow you to enter into someone's world and feel their pain. Right? Something happens when I sit next to somebody and I have a conversation and I feel what they're going through. I can't help but want to help. I'm not special by any means. I have to cultivate that in my life. You have to cultivate compassion. You got to expose yourself to the need. If you're out there, maybe you're going through some things, the best thing you can do is give Brother Nikki a call. Come out on Thursdays. Go out to the streets. Look and see what they see. When you start seeing someone in a worse situation, it actually helps you because you're like, hey, brother. And they're sitting there and they're on the floor and you're like, hey, what's going on? And they begin to start sharing with you what they're going through. And to your surprise, it's everything you've been through, but now you got an opportunity to give them hope, and your situation doesn't seem that bad. But the question is, will we move beyond the thought of that I want to help? Because true compassion will move you into action. We need to make sure that we display God's love in our relationships. We need to make sure that we display God's love towards everyone that we come in contact with. And I know we've been through some things. But what I'm asking you to do is step into someone else's world and help them get out. Give them hope. Listen, sometimes you don't even have to say anything. You just have to be there for support. People will change when they know you're not going to leave. But is that a consistency that we can count on in your life? John 4:7-8 says this, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. John 13:34-35, a new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. See, godly love is the difference maker. I said godly love. Because godly love is unconditional. Right? The type of world that we have here in the world, it's conditional. I love you if you meet my criteria. I love you if you have the right personality for me to get along with. But godly love has to do with pressing in and loving people regardless. We have to choose to have hearts of compassion. Are you with me? Are you getting something? I'll be coming to a close here pretty quick. But know this. We are God's chosen people. We have to have hearts of compassion. Colossians 3:12, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, and gentleness. The English Standard Version says it like this: put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts. And here, the writer is instructing us to clothe ourselves with compassion. Every day we put on clothes. In other words, you got to take compassion with you. You can't leave it at your house. Every morning I ask God, God, give me a heart of compassion. Remind me why I exist. I exist to display your love. I exist to help love others back to you. You also have to put compassionate hearts, not only for those that are lost, but for your brother, for your sister. We're not oblivious to the fact that we all got different personalities. And listen, as the church grows, we're going to get different perspectives. We're going to get different types of people. And we're not prejudiced towards one side. It's not like one type of people. I want everybody. I want the businessman as I want the principals. I want the drug addict. I want everybody. I want everybody to be able to walk into our church, and I want there to be a culture and an atmosphere where anyone can walk in and they feel love. But you got to bring a compassionate heart to church. This is why I always say, try to come to church early. We have prayer 45 minutes before service. Did you know that coming to church and just sitting here for 10 minutes and clearing your mind can help you have a compassionate heart? Therefore, you're not all irritated with everybody. The usher asks you to leave your coffee out there and not bring it inside the sanctuary. You're going to get all mad talking about that. He don't like me. All we asked you was to keep your coffee over there. Come on, somebody. Read between the lines. Don't bring coffee on the carpet. Come on, somebody. But we as the church need to learn to bear love with one another. Galatians 6:2, carry each other's burdens. And in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. That's a heavy scripture. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. So the days of you do you and I'll do me are gone, according to this scripture. And sometimes we walk into the church that way. Hey, brother, don't look at me. Hey, sister, don't look at me. You do you and I'll do me. You raise your child, I'll raise mine. But this word says, carry each other's burdens. And I thought about this long and hard last night. And I started thinking to myself, well, how do we carry others' burdens when we got issues of our own? Because I got issues. Some of y'all got some issues too. So how do we carry other people's burdens when we have issues of our own? I mean, I got enough stuff to deal with. I'll tell you how. Godly compassion will somehow grant you the capacity to help carry someone else's burdens. But you can't leave with it. You got to make sure that you cultivate a heart where God can build it within you. The kingdom of God needs men and women who are compassionate and know how to deal with people's problems. I'm going to say that again. The kingdom of God needs men and women who are compassionate and know how to deal with people's problems. 2 Corinthians 1:3 and 4. Praise be to God and our Father, Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all trouble so that we can comfort those in any trouble with comfort we ourselves have received from God. What we need in the church is people that know how to deal with other people's problems. But you can't be popping off your wisdom and ideologies. You better make sure if you're going to give somebody wisdom or advice, it better be rooted in the word of truth. Because if you steer them wrong, you will have to answer to the Lord. I know I'm giving you some stuff, but bear with me. This is why we're slow with leadership. I won't just put somebody in it. I don't care if they have the gift of leadership. I have to watch because I have to make sure that they have the right heart. Your soul, your heart is on the line. And what we need are leaders, men and women of God that will rise and do their very best. You don't got to be perfect, but you got to do the best to live according to God's word. And you got to stop doing the things you know are wrong. There are certain things we keep doing we know are wrong. And as a result, we can't progress in life. This is why they say to do the same thing over and over and expect a different result is what? Insanity. And there are some, you keep going in circles. It's time to change your approach. If God's called you, you got to submit, you got to surrender, you got to give it all so that God can do a new thing. Yesterday's victories are not good enough for the war that we're up against today. What you went through yesterday, what you went through a couple years ago, it was a lot different. Back then, we weren't dealing with the spiritual war we're dealing with. We weren't dealing with all the laws that have passed. Back then, weed wasn't free. I mean, it didn't pass the law. But nowadays, hey, the law says I could do it. So you can't go off of yesterday's victories, right? Well, Oxy's Percocet ain't bad. My doctor gave them to him. Well, you used to be a dope fiend. I don't know if you should be taking that. Can we talk some truth? There are people that are dependent upon chemical substances. God can heal you. God can give you freedom. God can heal your mind. God has the ability to take away the loneliness, the depression, and he has the ability to give you peace. He has the ability to give you joy unexplainable. He has the ability to set you free. Brother Alec, you can come up. If not, I'm going to keep going. See, this is the beauty of knowing Jesus. This is why I've committed my life to walking with God. Without God, I am a mess. Without God, I am hurting. Without God, I got complexes. Without God, I don't have peace and I live in anxiety. Without the Lord, I am all messed up. But I know that I need God, and every day I do my best to reach out to him in prayer. I do my very best to preach his word according to the way he's given it to me. And I'm allowing God to use my life, because had someone not given their life for me, I wouldn't be here today. My family wouldn't exist. Me and my wife would not be married. My children would not. And today I have the privilege of serving a God that can do all things. I have the privilege of experiencing the anointing and the Spirit of God. I have the privilege of walking in peace every single day. Working with souls is not easy. Working with people, it's going to take work, guys. And I close with this. The Bible says that when he seen the multitudes, he was moved with compassion, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Another, they were walking aimless. There was no one to guide them. But listen to what he says in verse 38. Then he said to his disciples. He didn't say it to the crowd. He said to his disciples. In other words, if you're a disciple of Christ, this is your responsibility. He said, the harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Jesus looked at the crowds that followed him and referred to them as fields that were ripe for harvest. And many people are ready to give their lives to Christ if someone would be willing to step out of their routine and show them how. The harvest is ready, Tacoma. The harvest is ready here in Pierce County. People are ready to hear the gospel, but we need laborers. A laborer in those days, in Bible times, were hard, strenuous workers. Laborers in the Bible would work tirelessly and with determination. And in order to reap the spiritual harvest God wants to bring, we're going to need spiritual laborers that are willing to work strenuously, tirelessly, and with determination to see lost souls saved. It's not easy working with broken souls, but you have the answer. God wants to use your life. Listen, mama, it's time for you to start reaching out to new mothers. It's time for you to start giving hope. Some of you have been through some things. You got to let your story bring God glory. You got to start raising your voice and talking about what you came out of and how God sets you free. You just might give somebody hurting hope. As we all stand this morning, you know, one of my prayers.